stop you! Australia! Germany! America!
Here we go. Head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. Welcome, welcome, one and all, to a brand new episode of The Horn, a brand new broadcast week at the halfway mark of the month of May. How did we get there so quickly? Beats me. This is The Horn. HeadOnRadioNetwork.com is where we live. And let's start out with the programming reminders, shall we? The Horn server at White Rose Society is still deader than Pharaoh's cat. Ben Birch is working hammer and tongs at remedying that particular situation, but he's not there yet. And so we are, if you're listening, you already know, but don't, but still, if you're listening in podcast and you like to listen live or anything, we're still streaming at www.headon.live, courtesy of the yeoman efforts of Brother Deacon Asa, who got that going for us, and I show that we're streaming merrily away, and I hope, in fact, that, you know, we are. I guess I'll find out in an email or Skype or the chat room here in a minute or two. I'll be a while getting into the chat room. The rickety old production machine decided that it wanted to crash, you know, about 3 minutes before airtime. So that was a real that was a real hoot. Downright a joy. But as soon as it lets me, I'll be in the chat room. Anyway, for the until further notice, that's where the streaming takes place. HeadOn.live, HeadOn.live. Ah, thank you, Sparky. Thank you. You're golden, Bob. Well, no, I'm still pretty damn pink, but, you know, yes. And thank you, Ace. The stream's coming through through fine. Appreciated. Much appreciated. And, let's be clear on this. That means that I can't upload to the White Rose Society podcast feed either. So, for the time being, you have two podcasting alternatives. One is podbean.com. And the other is to go to iTunes, where Thomas over at FYI so kindly helped us to have a podcasting presence on iTunes once again. I don't know why ours went away, but it did. Now, one more note: if you follow me, if you friend up with me on Facebook, you'll get the notifications when I put them up and my other occasional musings as well. Or you can follow me on Twitter, where the same happens, only 140 characters at a time. And yes, spaces count as characters too. I haven't sorted that out in my own mind yet. But anyway, those are both of the ways that you can keep up with me. And, you know, if you find something on Twitter that you feel like retweeting, those are most welcome, too, because that's kind of an indirect way to help build the Horn Family Community Congregation. Steve in New York notes, for anyone who cares, Podbean is actually pretty good. I had to write to them. Their app wasn't working so well, but it's now there's a new one out. If you had the old one, uninstall it, reinstall the new one, and you should be golden. One more caveat attaches to all of this, of course. You can't get the program through TuneIn or Stitcher live like you once could, and Roku and all the other devices. Because those platforms pick up the White Rose stream. But you know, once we get the server, once we get the new White Rose server up and running, it should be a Jim Dandy. At least, you know, that's my sincere hope. And well, we shall see what we shall see. little yesterday being Mother's Day, Tony posted something on the Horn group page. Simply said, "Happy Mother's Day to everyone," and I had a picture of her. "Happy Mother's Day to everyone except Mary Trump." Ain't that the damn truth? And Jesus, that picture of her. She looks like... Okay, this is just mean because we're talking about appearances, and I know, oh, that's just mean, Bob. That's cruel. Don't talk about the dead. Really? She looks like a production design from something even David Lynch rejected. Okay? Yeah. So, just, you know, wow. Yeah, I mean, wow. Thanks for the friend request on Facebook, Les. I just approved it, so great. But anyway, the chat room over at headonradionetwork.com works just dandy, at least for some people. It's Java-based. Others have some troubles. But at any rate, if you would like to be part of the Madcap Mary Zany real-time multimedia extravaganza that is the Horn chat room, just go to headonradionetwork.com and click on chat room, pick yourself out a screen name and a password, and jump in where the likes of Derby and Hoghead and Laborman and Silent R. Lamar and Squeaky and Texas T and VT Blom will all say howdy to you, all capably moderated by longtime, inveterate, indefatigable veteran chat room moderator Sparky, who, being a spacing guild master, has folded space today to become Man Cave. Yes. And I'm there, too. And we're just going to have a high old time this evening like we always do. Yes, I agree. Steve in New York points out that Mama Trump's photo makes it clear that is where he got his cat's ass mouth from. And it is that, isn't it? Yes, it is. 79 degrees in Northern California. Thank you. Thank you, Sparky. Although I got nothing to complain about today here. We got up into the 80s, not a cloud in the sky. We're going to have three beautiful days, and then monsoon season comes back. So, crossing our fingers. It's just nice to see the sun again for a little bit. Okay, so that takes care of most of the housekeeping, I think. This is, of course, a listener-supported broadcast operation. We have no advertisements. We have no... we got no ads. Nobody's going to ask you to buy an herbal erection tonic or an herbal hair regrowth pill that you can relax on your Swedish mattress made of NASA foam as bowling balls drop all around you and are picked up by a vacuum cleaner and thrown onto your lumber liquidator's floor in your General Steel building, where your Bose Wave radio is blaring away some right-wing blatherhead. Nope. We live and continue to survive by virtue of listener contributions. Okay. Listeners like you, like they say over on National Petroleum Radio. Okay. We try to raise $200 every, you know, every evening, whether it, well, whether we need it or not. It winds up being one of the biggest broadcast bargains in media today. And I had a note from the beaten Swede, our buddy Scott, who put a little something on the table, because apparently he's aware of what a season in hell May has turned out to be. Our buddy Scott put a $500 challenge on the table, and we're calling it the Mayday May Challenge. Because just about every bit of fundraising we've done for this month has wound up dealing with, you know, catastrophic automobile repair bills. So, with any luck at all, we will we'll match that over the next couple of days, which will mean $250 this evening and $250 tomorrow, and that'll double your that will double your contribution. And help dig us out of it. No, we're not in a hole technically. We're just in a hole in terms of where it all went. Oh, how I wish I could say, listen, guys, sorry. You know, I cracked under the pressure. And Agnes and I, well, you know, we ran off to the beach for a week. But we didn't. And we couldn't have, even if we'd wanted to. No, we stayed right here in the mansion. Well, actually, we didn't. I did. Agnes is over with the grandbabies and our eldest, Margie, helping with some child care and things like that as my daughter navigates her way through a bit of a family crisis. But and no, we wouldn't have, couldn't have, didn't have. So that's where we stand. And you know, I'll reiterate this. We cherish, and I don't mean me and that mouse in my pocket. I mean everybody for whom the horn matters. We cherish everybody who keeps it going. And an easy way to help keep it going is just to become a subscriber. A $10 a month. Monthly subscriber. Just click the box over at the PayPal interface. It says make this a recurring monthly donation. Boom, you're done. And on the same day of the month, every month, bang, $10 will come out. If you make it $10. Mr. Soros, however, needs to put down $10,000. Yes. I had a note earlier today from Terrace. And, daggone it. Trying to get to it now. There it is. Tara said, last Friday, Bill Maher said the folks who run the Nixon Library pointed out that Nixon never fired the head of the FBI. The audience loved it. How about pleading on air with the writer who works for Bill Maher and listens regularly to the Horn for a contribution? Maybe explain that Bill makes more money per show than the Horn spends in a decade. We poor huddled masses are tired of footing the bill for the ungrateful, white privileged rich. Or we can, the privileged rich, period. Because really, when you get right down to it, they're all green. And I don't mean like Jill Stein green. I mean green like the color of money green. So, I get the message. It would be nice to have a limousine liberal, but we don't. But someday, somehow, somewhere or another, yeah, maybe we will. Who knows? Oh, but okay, so that's all of that. Now, oh, one last thing, the mailing address, if you want to proceed by using the postal service instead of PayPal, and I understand a lot of people do, some people do. The mailing address is The Horn, 1038 North Eisenhower Drive, Beckley, Beckley, WV, 25801. Okay? Now, with that having been said, enough time has gone into the issue of the fundraising and house cleaning and housekeeping and making sure everybody understands where to get the stream and where to find the podcast. And let's have some conversation radio now. Yes, indeed. And because it's the 15th day of May, 2017, and because the 15th day of May falls on, yes, a Monday, that can mean only one thing.
You've got to remember that these are just simple farmers. These are people of the land. You know, morons.
Hurry, hurry, hurry. Step right up. You will not believe your ears. It's Moran Monday on the horn. Here, behind this thin, cybernetic veil of canvas, you will hear Morans the likes of which you can scarcely imagine. There's a new bumper crop every Monday here on the horn. Yes, indeed, yes, indeed. We've got them all right here for you. Birthers, deathers, ninthers, tenthers, baggers, birchers, booger eaters, trumpanzees, libertarians, Republicans, Repiglicans, one and all. Just a few steps away from the Carnival Midway. Away from all the fun and all the games that you can never win. We're right here. You can't tell the morons without a program, and this is the program that tells the morons. You just can't tell them much. Yes, indeed, yes, indeed. It works out to less than 17 cents per hour of programming for every blessed hour of programming you get when you're a $10 a month regular contributor to the Horn by clicking that little box there on the PayPal interface. Less than 17 cents per hour of programming is a bargain. And so, consequently, I abjure you to keep an eye on purses, wallets, small children, pets, even that cussed iguana that you won throwing ping pong balls at the goldfish over on the Midway. Keep an eye on all of them, not to mention your European messenger bags, because the morons, being conservative, can get grabby. Head for the hills or you'll be up to your armpits in morons. Oh, yes. Oh, yes, you will. Mm-hmm. And we've got a nice handful of them. Oh, we do. We absolutely do. Let's see. Let's start close to home here. My home. This past Saturday. Okay, never mind. Backup. Background. Over in a place called Lochgelly. No, there are no Scots-Irish descendants here. Why do you ask? Over in a place called Lochgelly, there's a site where a construction contractor guy has been making money by injecting poison down wells that, you know, sit hard by the water table that winds up being the public drinking water supply. Yeah? Yeah. For Fayetteville, Oak Hill, lots of air. Yeah, right. And the poison leaches into the water. That guy's name is Danny Webb. And so a group of activists, and you know, when you get right down to it, they're not really activists. They might more properly be termed people who don't appreciate being poisoned. Mm-hmm. They gathered to protest the injection of said poisons into said wells, smack dab in the middle of an ecotourism area, and, you know, where the water will be drunk by men, women, children, right? Yeah, birds, snakes, deer, fish. It's right. And they peacefully assembled. Well, a little ways in, lo and behold, Danny Webb calls the 911. And he says, some of these peacenik tree-hugging hippies are over here a-shooting off the guns, and I'm a-skeert.
You're kidding me, right? No, he did that. And apparently, there was gunfire. Because some of the people who don't like being poisoned noticed it too. And this, and of course, you know, county sheriffs went roaring out. Of course they did. Of course they did. To see if they could catch whoever was a protecting freedom that afternoon. And went so far as to issue a statement on the matter. Yes, absolutely. Which I will share with you. From the Fayette County Sheriff's Department press release. Shots were reportedly fired during a fracking protest in Fayette County earlier today, but no one was injured. Sheriff Mike Fridley released the following information concerning this incident.
At approximately 1 p.m. on Saturday, May the 13th, 2017, notification was received through the Fayette County 911 Center that shots were being fired during a fracking protest in the Lock Gilly area near Oak Hill. The caller identified himself as Danny Webb and stated that the shots were being fired by the protesters. Dispatchers at the 911 Center could reportedly hear shots being discharged in the background while speaking with Mr. Webb and hearing one of the fellers holler, "Is that enough shooting yet, Mr. Webb? Boss? We're going to need another box of shells if you want us to shoot some more, boss." No, I'm just adding that part. Several Fayette County deputy sheriffs responded to the scene, and they were assisted by officers from the Oak Hill Police Department. Upon arrival at the scene, deputies found approximately 30 protesters. We could, again, instead of calling them protesters, we could call them people who don't appreciate being poisoned, who had gathered to protest the disposal of fracking waste on property owned by Danny Webb Construction Company. This protest is reportedly organized by the Headwaters Defense Organization. Danny Webb reported to the responding officers that the shots had been fired by the Group O protesters. The protesters alleged that Danny Webb had fired several shots into the air near them. Deputies did not locate any firearms or expended shell casings at the scene, but could hear multiple shots being fired in the distance as if someone was engaging in target practice in a remote area. Imagine that. In West Virginia, where we give baby his first gun or her first gun, along about the same time we give them their first fishing rod and reel and their first bottle. No one reported any injuries as a result of this incident, and no arrests were made. The right of citizens to assemble and engage in peaceful protest is a fundamental civil liberty. Said Sheriff Fridley. Peacefully protesting does not involve discharging firearms, however. We will not tolerate reckless and dangerous conduct and behavior with firearms from either protesters or those who are the subject of the protest. Being how this is Moran Monday, let's apply some logic, reason, and common sense to the fact pattern at hand. 30 people who don't appreciate being poisoned show up to protest being poisoned. Now, while one could, in fact, argue that if someone were to, say, discharge a firearm into the person of Danny Webb, that that person would have an at least semi-credible argument of self-defense in open court, one must also take note of the fact that we are talking here about tree huggers and peaceniks. I mean, there were no off-duty cops or NRA members or Republicans or libertarians. There were none of those in that crowd of 30 people assembled. They were people who
oh, I don't know, drink craft beer. And wear clothing made only of natural fibers. And might, upon if they were given a survey, say that patchouli was their favorite fragrance or scent. They would not, however, fall into a statistical category of people likely to be packing heat. Even though, I will remind us all, even though packing heat in a concealed fashion by persons over 21 in the state of West Virginia is absolutely completely legal. Isn't it interesting that the protest was on the property of Danny Webb? Danny Webb said that the tree huggers were a shooting, but nobody seemed to have any guns amongst the tree huggers. Danny Webb, of course. I didn't do it. And no search warrant was executed to try to find, say, if there were any shell casings in, you know, Danny Webb's garbage inside his building or inside his vehicle. And besides that, the gunfire did appear to be from somebody doing target practice in a remote area. Morans. And of course, the whole lot of effort into seeing if maybe, because among other Dakota Access Pipeline water protector struggle, we know that people will do that kind of thing and say, yeah, look at them, look at them shooting guns. I just, thought we should maybe make mention of that. But that's not all we've got in the way of morons. No, God, please. Don't kid yourself. No, not at all. What else? Daggone it, I hate it when this happens. I had one that just popped into my mind right at the beginning of the program. And I wandered off onto some tangent and it's lost, but it was kind of humorous. Yeah, oh well. That's okay. We got plenty of others. For instance, I have, and granted, the video is actually a couple of weeks old, but we haven't dealt with it here. I have some audio here from a CNN special report. No, it's a CNN package in which one of their reporters, and this deals with Trump voters, so it fits naturally with More in Monday. Now, I haven't even gone into my little ray of sunshine portion of the program yet, Ron. Don't be such a nattering nabob, Ron. In the thawing north, where the greens are growing green again and becoming puttable, says, "Hey, I have the evening off. I've got my butt planted in a comfortable place. I got a good glass of red wine for my heart, and my attitude is magnanimous." I'm fairly certain that you're going to change my outlook. And telling me that there's some buffering happening as well. Sorry, I wish there was something I'd do. I'm not seeing it here. But we'll cross our fingers. Anyway, this CNN report goes back a couple of weeks. And it has to do with that catnip that the for-profit media cannot resist since November the 8th, 2016. In other words, a series of interviews with Trump voters. There will be periodic interruptions along the way, but let's start the audio, shall we?
Asheville, Alabama.
Yeah, naturally, we've got some diddly-ding, ding, dingle-ding guitar background music because you can't work up a righteous story about Southern voters with, well, I guess I'm just grateful that it's not ding, 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 ding. You know what I mean? Sure do got a pretty mouth.
The sun's been up for 3 hours and Greg Weston's been up for six. He's a farmer. What he grows, he and his wife, Brandy, sell at an old gas station on the edge of town.
This is a Weston farm from Lighter Shack.
Round here, the only thing redder than the Maters is the politics.
Well, at least he didn't say the only thing redder than the Maters is the neck. And he is a bona fide, sure enough, goodness gracious, real live journalist, so I don't necessarily understand the necessity. I mean, I clown around with this kind of an accent, but I can speak journalist. I can do news anchor. And that's the way it is. See? Easy as pie. Okay. So I don't know why Martin Savage, I think it is, if I recognize his voice. I don't know why he felt compelled to say Maters. The only thing redder than the tomatoes here are the necks. No. And 3, 2, 1. The only thing redder than the tomatoes here are the politics. That's where it was. Red, Mater red politics. And. Bear in mind, dude is a farmer. Okay, so we've got the setup, right? Right.
The county where Greg and Brandy live voted 89% for Trump.
How do you think Trump's doing?
I think he's doing good.
They like Trump.
Yeah, I think he's doing good.
Trump, even though his first actions haven't really helped them. Trump's tough immigration talk has made it harder for Greg to find migrant workers to harvest his crops.
If you can't get it picked, then you're in trouble.
Then there's Trump's efforts to replace Obamacare, which Greg and Brandy are on.
What do you like about it? Why do you like it?
Well, I pay $88 a month for me and my wife, where I was like, before Obamacare come in, I was paying like $6.60.
And he does not mean $6.60. He means $660. And now he pays $88 a month. But, remember, he's a Trump voter. So, he bought into the lies. And went and voted for Trump. But the, the hits just keep on coming because now we're going to talk with Brandy, his wife. Brandy, you're a fine girl. What a good wife you would be. You know the song. No, I'm not going to fire that up as bumper music to get us out of the top, into the second hour. No, just not a gonna. tempting, but not gonna. But she's gonna explain to us how it is that she's got her some Obamacare, but she don't feel real good about it. Take it away, Brandy.
Obamacare is working so well, Brandy feels guilty. She says she knows people who can't afford their private insurance or who can't get insurance at all. She's okay with Trump's efforts to replace it.
It still doesn't make sense to pay so little and still the poor people get nothing.
Time out, okay, Jack? Okay, time out. It don't make no sense to pay so little and the poor people get nothing. Well, nobody's explained to Brandy, who was a fine girl. Nobody's explained to her, apparently, there in Talabama, that the reason the poor people get nothing is because those other politicians that she voted for kept the poor people from getting anything. Nobody, I guess they just didn't explain it on the Fox News or any of a number of right-wing hate radio outlets that probably reach her there in Asheville, Alabama. No, because see, the poor folks could have had something if the Medicare expansion had not been stricken by the most evil and creative and brilliant Republican in the entire United States, namely old Balls and Strikes John Roberts, who had to kill the Medicaid expansion lest it eventually morph into, well, you know, universal single-payer health care. Yeah. She doesn't realize that poor people and even people like her would probably qualify for the Medicaid expansion in a state that has it. You know, your Minnesotas and Massachusetts and West Virginias and Kentuckys and even Louisiana and California and Washington and Oregon. Right. But, you know, they ain't got Crimson Tide football, and they ain't even got Auburn. So, you know, it's fair trade.
You think you should pay more?
In other words, yes.
Well, sister, you're gonna if you've got health insurance at all. By the time the Senate gets done and the House is done and they put it in front of Comrade Kumquat and he takes his bill signing crayon and scrawls across it, you're going to pay a lot more. Again with
in
the slide
Birmingham,
guitar.
It's also another long day for Quinton Posey, a cab driver. In the past, he's voted Democratic, but in 2016, voted Trump.
The thing about a businessman is that it's action and it's not policy.
Black Trump voters are rare in the South, only about 9%. Quinton's even more rare since he is black and gay.
And at this point in time, a number of members of the Horn Family Community Congregation have kicked a piece of furniture or yelled some word that they would not be proud for their mama to know that they knew how to use. And by the way, where did reporter guys bullshit corn pone approach to what about the maters? Why didn't he say something like, "And a black Trump voter in Alabama is about as rare as hen's teeth"? I mean, that'd be a good one. That'd work. But now, our black gay Alabama Trump voter is going to explain why.
100 days in, how do you feel he's done?
100 days in, I'm not pleased.
Really?
Okay. Not pleased.
What don't you like?
He's a little too brash, is that the word?
Quinton hasn't seen as much change as he expected, and he worries about what a Trump budget might cut.
I'd like to just interrupt for a moment and wonder what the hell kind of change Quinton was looking for. Quinton, is it? I couldn't tell. Was he looking for the wall to get built? Right, lickety split. See, that's how you talk when you want to sound all corn pony. You say things like lickety split. I don't know. Was he looking for the Mexicans to get all rounded up and put in camps and sent back to Mexico? Was he looking for maybe he's been through some bad relationships and he was looking for gay marriage to get overturned right quick? Just not sure. But he's worried about the budget.
I mean, do you wish you hadn't voted for him?
I don't wish I had, because I mean, according to the alternatives, I don't have any regrets.
Right, you were not going to vote for Clinton.
No, I'm not going to vote for Clinton.
Oh my Jesus! Now that's the guy and his wife and this dude, and they're they ain't necessarily happy. But they ain't unhappy, and no, hell no, I'd have voted for him again. Might have some problems, I'd vote for him again. Sure, shucks, hell's bells. Why not? I wasn't going to vote for that Clinton. Which takes me, by way of an interruption and a digression, to... a note I received from Todd, not Todd in South Carolina, Stan, Globetrotting Todd, who wrote, I just got back from L.A. and played Friday on the front porch on the plane. Why could not those fine and sharp, inquisitive legal minds of the Horn family apply that prosecutorial legal sleuthiness, vigor, and reasoning to Hillary Rodham Clinton and her real crimes under Title 18, Section 793, and let her go, and we run Bernie, or anyone but her, and win. See, Comey did not fuck Hillary. He fucked us for not disqualifying her. And, well, I'll be dipped. I had no idea that among the mickle properties and talents and powers that James Comey possessed, I did not realize that one of them was that he was a one-man grand jury who could declare an indictment. I just didn't know. You learn something. You learn something new every day. All Comey had to do was say Hillary did it with her little hatchet, and Bernie would have been swept. Where? Not into the nomination. After the nominating process was over, if she bowed out, the Democrats would have had to just name somebody else. Probably Tim Kaine. That powerhouse, Tim Kaine. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Who, incidentally, would not have beaten Donald Trump. Oh, well. Todd goes on to inform us lumpen proletariat that the dismal Dems are seeking an independent counsel without any factual basis of a federal or state crime committed, so the wet dream of collusion is a dry hump at best for short-term resolution of this masturbatory fantastic of the Russians ate her homework. I think, Todd, your argument is falling apart a little bit. I don't know how many more people have to be shown to have had from the Trump campaign have to be shown to have had contact with Russian influencers. See, there's that word we learned a couple of weeks ago from Firefest, influencers. But apparently it's a number that hasn't been reached yet for Todd. And then there was an interesting thing, and you might want to go and find it. Flavio, for instance, pointed it out to me. I'd already seen it by then. But it's worth watching. There is a Dutch documentary. And I think you can still find a link to it at Alternet. And this Dutch documentary shows in significant detail the long, long, long history of associations between Donald Trump and the Russian mob. I'm not at all surprised. I mean, look, he's a real estate developer in New York City. Sooner or later, no offense, you're going to get mobbed up. Because it just is. And that documentary would be a good thing for Todd to watch. It would at least provide an alternative point of view. But I also recommend it for everybody else when you've got the time. Let me see if I can find the Alternet article. Just so you can search it, because I'm sure it's not on the main page anymore. The Alternet article is Donald Trump's financial ties to Russian oligarchs and mobsters detailed in explosive new documentary. Naturally, it's from an international journalism outfit, not the American for-profit media. You know what else is interesting? This documentary is out there, and you know how Donald Trump is running around all the time saying, "I'm going to sue you, definitely going to sue you. I'm going to sue you for $1 billion." Right? You know what? Truth is an absolute defense, and there has been, as far as I know, no threat of lawsuit against this outlet. Huh. Wonder why. I know. A note coming in from Ron in the Greening North. Oh, give me a fucking break. Would these asshats please get off the Bernie bandwagon? No, they're gonna relitigate Bernie so that we can't make any progress in 2018, and we wind up with Commodore Cantaloupe for a second term. It's modern politics. That's all. Note coming from David in South Carolina, Stan. Small detail. I do not think deep criminal investigations normally reveal all their evidence to the general public or the for-profit media, I'll add, prior to grand jury time and or indictment. I'm not an attorney, however, this is what I think usually happens during criminal investigations. You are correct, David. Please pass go. Collect $200 in advance to law school. Absolutely right. So, you know, there's that. Also, Steve in New York says, it's worth noting that working class couple in Alabama struck me. She thought they should pay more for poor folks. Can you ever imagine a member of the 1% lamenting that he or she didn't pay enough and should pay more to help the poor? No, I mean, the sentiment is good, Steve. It's the lack of basic knowledge that underpins it. And I think that's a problem that most likely afflicts a great number of voters in places like Alabama and Mississippi, Stan, et cetera, et cetera. Because they get their information from places that cannot be trusted. Again, I note, I can't be sure, but I'd say you got better than even odds. That's a church going couple there. The tillers of the earth. What does the clip say?
You've got to remember that these are just simple farmers. These are people of the land. You know, morons.
And so when they wander into their local gospel emporium every Sunday, they can be guaranteed to be met by a preacher who will tell them that the Homer sectionals are going to burn forever in a lake of fire, and that that Obama was a Kenyan Muslim usurper, and that anybody who supported him or that Democrat Harry was going to burn together with all the Homer sectionals in that lake of eternal fire. And so they better get out and vote for godly folk, i.e. Republicans. Say it. Anyway, so we're going to leave the Deep South, though. And I'm going to wonder if we're going to get slide guitar music in Iowegia.
In Des Moines, Iowa, I find another surprise.
No, now we're more into flat picking and doesn't have quite the incestuous overtones to it. Got it.
Named Alberto Alejandre, a 32-year-old public school teacher who teaches Spanish to inner-city kids.
Who did you vote for this go-round?
I voted for Trump.
Born in Mexico, he became an American through an amnesty program in the 80s. Yet, voted for a president who has called Mexicans criminals and threatens mass deportations.
Oh, by the way, extra credit. Whose amnesty program? In the 80s. That's right. Ronnie Reagan's and the Republicans' amnesty plan in the 80s. Just wanted to make sure we were clear about that. Because it was. Poor old Ronnie Reagan, even though they deify him, well, it's kind of like Jesus. They wouldn't really want him to come back and even do any of the stuff he was doing back then because he's just, well, nowhere near conservative enough. Let's take a quick call just because I suspect I know who this is. Hey, welcome to the program.
Is this...
This is Bob. Hey, Edward.
Well, for heaven's sakes, I've been worried about you.
Well, the White Rose Society server is down, and we're using a different server right now to stream.
Oh, okay.
Did I get to wish you happy birthday directly? Or did I only
yes,
do that?
You did. Yes, okay. You did. You okay. Sure did. I'm 80 years old. and you did, and I'm so glad that I was worried about you. I was afraid something had happened.
No, the only thing that happened is that the White Rose Society server died deader than Pharaoh's cat.
My word.
And so Ben Birch is working really hard on that, and we're using a different server right now.
The one that you're using, I can't get or something, because when I go on there, and I get mine off the internet, it's nothing but gobbledygook.
Well, that's been straightened up, I think.
Oh, really? Well, that's good. I hope so. Well, anyway, I won't keep you now that I found out you're all right, and I can rest easy for a while anyway.
I appreciate it, Edward.
You take care.
Good hearing from you. You take care, too.
Yeah, you mean a lot to a lot of us.
Well, whatever I mean to y'all, y'all mean to me, and that's a fact, because y'all keep me sane.
Well, you keep me sane, too.
All right. You have a good
take
evening.
Care.
Bye now.
Thank you. You do the same. Bye-bye.
Our buddy Edward, calling from Dallas. The last message I had from Ben said that the file copying was going exceeding slow. He had hoped we'd be on the air Thursday, and then Friday. And then he stayed at it all weekend long. He hoped we'd be on the air this evening. And he says, surely, we're close to done. Surely to goodness, we can have the White Rose Society server back up and running on Tuesday. So y'all cross your fingers and I'll cross mine, okay? Yes. By the way, thank you, Flavio. The actual title, and you can find it on YouTube, I think, the actual title of the Dutch documentary is Donald Trump's Dubious Friends. It was produced by Zembla Investigative Journalism and Varva Dutch Public Television. There are two parts, and the second part follows in the YouTube playlist. Flavio says, I watched it twice, just in case I missed anything. Phenomenally good. Knowing Flavio, he probably watched it in Dutch, because he probably speaks it. But it's there in English, too. I highly recommend it, especially for people who think that there's no there with Donald Trump and all those Russians. With regard to the ongoing audio that I've been running, Steve in New York says, I completely agree. However, the woman in Alabama strikes me as someone we could work with, given that attitude. Perhaps that's wishful thinking, but I really need some hope right now. Maybe we could. Maybe we could. But somebody has to be able to make that outreach. And you hope that there are people in Alabama who can. But I guess I just remain skeptical. By the way, Darlene lets us know Raw Story has the link to the Dutch documentary as well. Watch explosive Dutch documentary says Trump has deep ties to Russia's mafia underworld. Darlene notes, the sleaze revealed in the first part of this documentary is frightening and makes me realize just how naive I am. Oh, no, it ain't you, Darlene. It's creepy. It's like watching. No, I was going to say it's like watching borscht flavored Godfather, but actually the Corleones had a sort of an ethos. That's the thing that comes across about that picture. Murderous and bloodthirsty, but there's not too many people who get it in the Godfather. You don't think. Really kind of had it coming. Right up to dippy little Apple Sicily. I mean, honestly. Okay, I'm going to get in trouble for that. But, you know, didn't mind. I'm going to show you I can drive, and boom, goodbye, Apollonia. Hello, Diane Keaton. But never mind. Wow, note come out. Damn it. Going to Iowa, and the as Steve notes, the Latino from Iowa was most disgusting because he was so damned igamfoo.
Who did you vote for this go around?
I voted for Trump.
Born in Mexico, became an American through an amnesty program in the 80s. Yet. Voted for a president who has called Mexicans criminals and threatens mass deportations.
Here we are 100 days after he was sworn in, and he has not acted against innocent, undocumented workers.
Some would disagree, but what's certain is that Alberto feels good about the administration so far, including on immigration.
Being in America to begin with isn't a right. It's a great privilege.
What, Edith, huh? For those who are born here, it is a right. And see, that's part of the problem, because we've got people who are born to immigrant parents that these good God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered evangelicals want to send back to Mexico, even though their parents might have been from Guatemala or Honduras, Panama, Costa Rica, El Salvador, Nicaragua. Yeah. But yeah, these Republicans want to send him back to countries they've never been to in the first place. Oh, well. I mean, I'm sure he has his reasons for being a Trumpansie, right?
Madison County, Iowa, famous for its bridges and home to a man many feel personifies America, John Wayne. Brian Downs knew the Duke and found similar qualities in the Donald when he met Trump at a campaign event.
Meeting him,
yes,
that made a huge difference. Yeah, made a huge difference. Just because it's somebody who, he really felt like one of us. I had that feeling.
The big campaign issue for Brian was the same as Alberto.
Borders, immigration, and I think that national security is all part of that.
And like Alberto, Brian is pleased by Trump so far.
I think he's doing great.
And he also admits that Trump's had to deal with a bit of a learning curve.
And he has as much as admitted, I didn't know it was going to be this complicated.
From the birthplace of John Wayne to a scene right out of the old West. John Flortini's family has been raising buffalo since the 60s. Today, the Durham Ranch has more than 3,000.
They're a great story. I mean, they have a great comeback story, you know.
Wyoming may be the cowboy state, but here, coal is king.
You knew it was coming, didn't you? Coal. They're going to talk to a coal miner in Wyoming, of course.
On a King Kong scale, Wyoming produces 40% of America's coal, dwarfing West Virginia and Kentucky. There's also oil, natural gas, and wind.
We are the energy capital of the nation.
Here, if you're not mining or drilling, you're selling to those who do. This past election, only one issue really mattered: jobs and energy. And yes, that's two, but in Wyoming, they're one and the same. Jeff Dale runs a business renting industrial generators. He voted for Trump, saying Democrats were anti-energy.
The path that we were on was definitely crippling this industry. So there's too many regulations and too many hurdles.
That could explain why I was a single parent, a grandmother, and a coal miner. She operates a P&H 4100 electric shovel that's larger than her house.
One mistake and you really could do a lot of damage.
Yeah. Yeah, we don't make mistakes.
She also voted for Trump, even though she was reviled by his words and actions toward women.
And I was offended, but it was not about me. It was about the people I work with and the people I love, and I had to make a choice that was bigger than me, so I did.
For Stacy and all the voters I talked with, Trump was not a perfect candidate and is not a perfect president. They voted for him believing he would make their lives better. And 100 days later, they still do. Martin Savage, CNN, Wyoming.
Marty got some real mileage out of that from Atlanta or wherever to Alabama. Iowegia, Wyoming, that's a nice gig. And every last one of them, well, he ain't perfect. But he's my president! Yeah, right. 'Cause sure. So, you know, and look, as Marcus Aurelius's poll numbers continue to disintegrate, well, there's still people out there who go, he's my president. Yeah, he's going to make America great again. And those are they. Those are the ones. Oh, as we passed the top of the hour, and no, we're not broadcasting live right now. Don't know why. Ace is rebooting the server. Note coming from Ron. At this point, Trump could be photographed having sex with a Russian wolfhound, and it still wouldn't be enough to move the needle with the evangelicals, Clinton haters, and congressional members of Trump's stormtroopers. In other words, the dead enders. I agree. But this just in. Eric Schmidt and Matthew Rosenberg reporting for the New York Times. I'm sure this is this won't move the needle with like Todd. President Trump boasted about highly classified intelligence in a meeting with the Russian foreign minister and ambassador last week, providing details that could expose the source of the information and the manner in which it was collected. A current and a former American government official said Monday. Let's see that again. Let's hear that again. President Trump boasted about highly classified intelligence in a meeting with the Russian foreign minister and ambassador last week, providing details that could expose the source of the information and the manner in which it was collected, a current and a former American government official said Monday. Now, I'm not going to do any goofy voices. I'm going to do this in my best journalese. Yes, Todd in South Carolina stands it. Not me. That was not me. No, I made that clear. I made that clear, Todd. That was not you. That was not good, Todd. That was cranky, Todd. I'm going to do this again. I'm not going to read any emails in the middle of it. This is brand new. This is breaking news. As of 7:08 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time, the 15th day of May, 2017. Now, before I read this again, I will add as a caveat that Eric Schmidt and Matthew Rosenberg, who both are reporters for the New York Times, have probably been thoroughly ponerized. And they just they put them in the little ponerize them, and they push the button, and a minute, a few seconds go, and you go, ding, and they come out, and they're all ponerized. President Trump boasted about highly classified intelligence in a meeting with the Russian foreign minister and ambassador last week, providing details that could expose the source of the information and the manner in which it was collected, a current and a former American government official said Monday. The intelligence disclosed by Mr. Trump in a meeting with Sergey Lavrov, the Russian foreign minister, and Sergey I. Kislyak, the Russian ambassador to the United States, was about an Islamic State plot, according to the officials. A foreign ally that closely guards its own secrets provided the information, which was considered so sensitive that American officials did not share it widely within the United States government or pass it on to other allies. Mr. Trump's disclosure does not appear to have been illegal. The president has the power to declassify almost anything, but sharing the information without the express permission of the ally who provided it represented a major breach of espionage etiquette and could jeopardize a crucial intelligence-sharing relationship. The Washington Post first reported the disclosure, which immediately reverberated around Washington. Senator Bob Corker, Republican of Tennessee, said, "The White House has got to do something soon to bring itself under control and in order. It's got to happen. Obviously, they're in a downward spiral right now, and they've got to figure out a way to come to grips with all that's happening. Asked about the larger effect of the disclosure, Mr. Corker said, "To compromise a source is something that you just don't do, and that's why we keep the information that we get from intelligence sources so close as to prevent that from happening." Let's back up to the first quote from Senator Corker. "The White House has got to do something soon to bring itself under control and in order. It's got to happen." Well, see, there's this little document, and it's called the Constitution of the United States. And it's not a very long document at all. It doesn't go into great amounts of detail. It provides a basic framework under which a federal government is created and may continue. It creates a structure, if you will. And as we all know here, they didn't just get together in Philadelphia in 1787 and start writing down whatever came into their heads and employ a Ouija board and boom, Constitution. There are copious documents called the Federalist Papers, which delineate the manner and means by which the Constitution was arrived at and the rationale behind it. So with that in mind, they not only set up the structure of the government, they put what we call fail-safes into it. One of the fail-safes is the idea of impeachment, which they structured in such a way that it could only be done in a logical if A, then B, and if A and B, then C kind of fashion. And so, Senator Bob Corker of Tennessee, who is trying terribly hard to sound statesmanlike, because Tennessee actually has a history of statesmen, it was a senator from Tennessee who went to Richard Nixon and said, "You know, you're done, dude. You are just done." Well, sometimes, the way the Constitution is structured, the people who wrote it and ratified it recognized that a chief executive, a president, can go off the rails. And there's no clause in the Constitution about the White House has got to do something soon to bring itself under control and in order. When the Congress of the United States assembled recognizes that the President of the United States has gotten out of control and is in disorder, it is not left to the President to get things back in order. It is left to the Congress of the United States to remove him from office. The disclosure of this classified information is reverberating to the point that National Security Advisor Robert McMaster said, "Holy shit!" and immediately had a press conference about which they're pontificating on CNN even as we speak.
Even strays from those.
And you also reported in a sense that some of this was bragging.
Yeah, I mean, the White House hasn't disputed any of that language, nor did anybody that we talked to today, that he launches into this subject by saying, "I get the best intel, I got the great intel, I get great briefings every day, you got to believe this," and wraps it up, this whole part of the conversation, by saying, "Can you believe the world we live in?"
So, I mean, the bottom line here seems to be that they're saying your story is false, but they're saying that you're saying something you're not saying at all. I mean, that's sort of the conclusion that I'm reaching here, Greg, right?
And that's a sort of classic ploy.
Okay, Jim, I've got Jim Sciutto here as well. Jim, I mean, here's the reality. Greg's reporting would indicate that what H.R. McMaster just said, this story is false. What Dina Powell is saying, the Deputy National Security Advisor for Strategy, came out and said this story is false. Those two statements are untrue.
His statement is fundamentally insufficient because the Washington
H.R. McMaster,
and frankly all the statements, because the Washington Post story says that the president revealed classified information resulting from a secret source, not that it revealed who that secret source was. Now, in
right.
the world of intelligence, oftentimes you can make conclusions about who the source is based on where it's coming from. That's the thing, as Greg was saying, to reverse engineer it. That's
yeah.
one point I would make. Second point I would make, if the White House had demonstrated credibility on any, certainly intelligence issue, but any of the other many controversies that have come out.
Trusting the statements that come out.
That come from the White House podium or senior officials, you might be inclined to give this statement more. I'm just stating an obvious fact. You might be inclined to give this statement more credibility than it has.
Mm-hmm.
Two other points I would make. One, I mean, there are really three things that I've been speaking to intelligence officials, and former, current and former, all day as the ripples of this go out. They make three points to me about why, if this is confirmed, it would be significant. One, the obvious point, it's classified information. Two, revealed to a prime adversary of the U.S., Russia. And three, that it gets to a sensitive relationship. It's difficult to build these relationships. The U.S. has many intelligence-sharing relationships with countries
right.
that
meaning
are natural.
This country that has agents' lives at risk at this
risk
moment,
in the field,
in the middle
right.
of ISIS.
And we have relations.
And who would that foreign country be, do you reckon? That could be that. I mean, given the region, you immediately think, "Huh, Israelis." But it could be. Well, let's see. What was Syria back when we were screwing it up by making it some European country's colony? Oh, French. Or hell, it could be MI6 in Great Britain. Could even be the Germans. But we just screwed somebody. But the way the relationship is described, my money's on the Israelis. Which would be interesting, given the fact that the Israelis were reportedly loath to share information with the United States because they were specifically afraid of Geezer Disgustus babbling it out. He's a sieve. Okay? I mean, at this point in time, if, God forbid, or Flying Spaghetti Monster, or nothing, or anything, universe forbid, we were to decide to, say, do something about North Korea, that stupid fucker would call Kim Jong Crazy Pants and tell him! Oh, we've got the best fleet. It's coming right at you. We got the best air. Definitely fly slow on the carrier deck. Definitely the best fleet. Gonna blow you up. Okay? They're coming. What a world we live in, huh? What do you do? What do we do? Well, I mean, I kind of know the answer. You get 1 million people. You surround the White House and sit them down and don't leave until he does. And the whole filthy lot of them. That's what you do. But that didn't happen. That is not going to happen. Because, again, people's bellies aren't rumbling, so their heads aren't learning. People have mortgages and car payments. People have jobs to go to. And they lose it all if they stand up and just head off to Washington to surround the White House and demand that traitorous asshole decamp himself from our body politic. And the excuse? Well, you know, he's the president of the United States, for Christ's sakes. He can declassify anything he damn well wants to. Yeah, but does spilling it constitute a, I mean, and this is one of those lawyery questions. Does the negligent act of the president in giving up classified information to an adversary constructively declassify it? The word constructive is dangerous in the law. Because when you apply constructive to something, they're not dangerous, but it's slippery. When you say constructive something, and the something is a legal concept, what you're saying is it isn't really what you say it is. Constructive fraud. Well, it's not really fraud, but the way everything worked out, it worked out as the same as fraud. And it's a little less wordy as saying the same as fraud, but not. So instead, lawyers say constructive. And so I guess the Republicans are arguing, and the Trumpanzees and the fellow travelers, and the derp columnists, they're saying that, well, you know, when he decided to spill his guts to the Russians, he constructively declassified the information, no harm, no foul. But I don't know if you can do that. I would think that with something as sensitive as, you know, intel, classified intelligence information, you would have to affirmatively declassify it and then do it. And then there's what they added in. It's not like he called them over and went, psst, hey, we got some really cool intel. We busted the shit out of an ISIS plot. Yeah. You want to help? No. He was just babbling. The spirochetes were singing again. He was bragging, because that's all he knows how to do. Because, as Barkway says in the chat room, Trump is too derp to know when to keep his mouth shut or to know what constitutes opening a legal door. Under the heading, The Proper Legal Test, Steve writes, just imagine if President Obama had done that. Shit! The impeachment hearings would already be underway. The Flush Flimball would pull himself away from his stash of opioids to get back on the air, even as he was crunching them up between his teeth for the refreshing burst of flavor, to declare a special report. My friends, this is a special report. We're not usually on the air at this time, but I felt it was absolutely necessary that I get behind the microphone to tell you about the treasonous acts of the Kenyan Muslim usurper Barack Obama, who today gave secrets, American secrets, entrusted to us by a valued and cherished foreign ally. He gave those secrets to the Ruskies. Duh. On this, however, Flush Flimball, silent as the grave. Meanwhile, I'll get an email from Todd saying, God damn that Hillary. Yeah, remember when they were all, Hillary will just get us into World War III. Yeah, I remember it too. Precious, wasn't it? Such idealism. We've got two votes. We've got two votes for MI6 being the source of the information. Ron says, my money's on the Brits as the source. That said, one can't discount the possibility that the Israelis provided the information as another straw on the camel's back. that may help remove the orange asshole from office. Steve says, I think it's the UK. Mm-hmm. Oh, by the way, Steve also says, stop telling people how to be ponerized, Bob. Thank you, Steve. I have to be reminded to stop telling people how to on some sort of some topic at least once per program. But her emails! Why didn't James Comey disqualify her so we could have Bernie even though we couldn't have had Bernie? Yeah. But her emails! Private servers! Benghazi! When the history is written of this period, well, the sentient race of 6-foot-tall cockroaches a million years from now that will worship us as gods are going to be amazed. Maybe there'll be a 6-foot-tall sentient cockroach columnist who will say, humans lived then so we can be happy now. They could have saved themselves, but they chose to sacrifice themselves for us because they knew we would get it right. Mm-hmm. And that's not a dig at Charlie Pierce. I love Charlie Pierce's Friday Dinosaur News. In fact, I share it with my dinosaur-loving grandson. And it's thoroughly tongue-in-cheek when Charlie says dinosaurs lived then so they could make us happy now. Because they're fascinating. So we can get, I guess, as wrought as we wish. About this latest revelation. And we will be justifiably wrought. But I would simply counsel that we not get it into our silly little liberal heads that this Congress will do anything about it. Because they're not. Now, a few Republican senators will say things like, well, gosh darn it, the White House has got to get itself under control. They've got a moral, constitutional duty to get it under control. And then do not dick about it. FB. Yeah, okay, it's time for me to walk the plank. Because that's probably what he'd say to himself after he went to, say, Mike Pence or Betsy DeVos or Ben Pyramids Carson and said, you know, we have a legal mechanism. I mean, it's obvious he's nuts. And then, oh, yeah, he's crazy as shit. He's crazy as Cooter Brown. But look at all the fun we're going to have fucking the poors. Because they are there. And Betsy DeVos won't vote to remove him from office because, gall dang it, we're about to let religion take over the public school system just like she wants them to. Wouldn't it be nice if we could just say, hey, that's pretty damn obvious. Congress will surely act. Well, we can't say that. Because there is no data upon which to base a rational conclusion like that. And by tomorrow morning, we will have every news program pontificating mightily. And I got to give credit where credit's due. Joe Scarborough, Squint and the Meat Puppet are getting awfully close to saying he's got to go. This is from this morning. And I confess to being a little surprised when they're just inching along, just nudging like a child at the beach who for the first time feels the sand wash out from under her feet. Yeah.
I agree with John. I don't think that was an irrational decision. Everybody all weekend, why did he do it? What? He knew. He said he did it because he understood that Comey was onto something. I'm not going to blow the end of billions for anybody, but I will just say one of the last scenes, Axelrod talks about pulling a string.
Right.
Well, guess what? The FBI has started pulling that string.
And Trump's helped.
And they're still pulling that string.
By running
his mouth. And
where
it leads is not just an election issue. It is a criminal issue, and Trump knows that.
I'm not sure. I would say that there was some evidence that it was a miscalculation, because you recall when the firing came out, they had press releases kind of ready to go with quotes from Democrats saying how bad Comey was. You know, as if that would be this big pivotal thing.
But they clearly misunderstood.
Oh, I know. I'm just saying
it was calculated.
Let's also be clear. We're not trying to say that it was not a miscalculation. And it's not to say that they didn't. They obviously misread Democrats in Congress. I'm just trying to make the point that I think that Trump is the reason he did this, not because he's out of his mind. He did this because, as you say, Joe, I think he recognized, he looked over at the FBI and said, this guy, James Comey, who came to the White House, I asked him, if we believe this story, I asked him for his loyalty. He wouldn't give me his loyalty. Now he's investigating, he has been since last July. He's now taking daily briefings on this matter rather than weekly. He's now asking for more prosecutors. Donald Trump knows what's at the heart of this. I don't know what that is, but he does, and he's saying, This guy knows too.
Another scene from the end of Billions. I know what that string is, and I'm going to pull on that string.
I don't know what that string is.
He says, I don't know.
I don't know what it is, but I'm going to find out what it is.
For the people who've seen Billions, I don't mean to get into it, but there is this final scene where he says, I don't know what the string is, but you do.
Right.
And I'm going to find it. Well, here's the rub. With the FBI, they've already found the string, and they're pulling on it. Based on my contacts inside the FBI, and they're starting to tug on that string.
And they're going to keep
going. And they're going to
keep going.
And it's accelerated because of the way he fired Comey.
Bigger
he knows it.
Picture, though, there's a lot of damage being done to our country.
No, there is, and the FBI is on
not
to it.
But so many of these comments that strike
okay
me when you're getting at.
Nobody's saying it's going to be okay, Mika.
Okay.
Joe doesn't like it when Mika tries to sound all smarty pants. Doesn't like it at all. But there it is. Joe Scarborough thinks that the FBI is close to finding a criminal act on the part of the president. And at the same time, and I can't remember what her name, Louise something, I think, has declared that there's already an indictment, a sealed indictment with Trump's name on it, out of a grand jury. Maybe the one that's meeting in Alexandria, Virginia. Do you believe it? I don't. You know, you can believe or not believe, because grand jury proceedings are secret until such time as the grand jury's proceedings are made known. If there is, it would be a nice time to unseal the goddamn thing. Except, of course, unless there's more investigation being done. Note coming in from Darlene, subject line, Times Square. Why am I thinking of his statement during the campaign that he could shoot someone in the middle of Times Square and his followers would still love him, vote for him? I guess he also thinks he can openly, brazenly reveal classified info to the very same country his campaign is being investigated for colluding with, too. His brazenness is getting worse because no one is stopping him. We are in really deep shit. There's nothing funny about that comment, Darlene, but I've got a cowbell for it because that is a clear and concise state. We are in really deep shit. Now, remember, at the same time, presumably, that he's revealing this information with his handlers, Lavrov and Kislyak, this is the same time that they've kept out the American press and let the Russian press in with all manner of highfalutin, high-tech recording equipment. I mean, that's what video cameras are. Okay? And even modern digital cameras that look like cameras are video cameras, and phones are video cameras. Jesus Christ! So that you could probably even argue that the Russians have recordings of him doing it, which they can add to the file that also includes the video, the video file of him playing pee-pee games with whores in Moscow. Sweet jumping Jesus. Sobering, isn't it? Flavio's a little upset with, I wouldn't say Flavio's upset. We all just kind of discount. We said it was either the British or the Israelis. Flavio said, well, why not the French? They have a pretty good intelligence service. Well, yeah, they do. And they also have longstanding connections inside Syria. That's why I mentioned them. And they've probably got some pretty good Arabic speakers who could maybe be like spies. Oh, well. But, yeah. All right, we are past the halfway point of the program. We have had our technical difficulties this evening, for which I sincerely apologize. But with any luck at all, there will be something resembling a decent recording that can go up as a podcast if you want to catch it later, the part that you didn't get. And I will note at 21 minutes before the hour that it's another night that Mr. Soros has not come through. It's another night that none of the big liberals have come through. And we are in the middle of what I'm going to call Mayday May, because so much of May's fundraising got eaten up by unforeseen car repairs that it's making it rather difficult to pay the bills that actually keep the horn on the air. And there is a $500 Mayday May challenge on the table, courtesy of our buddy Scott in Sweden. Did I say Sweden? I didn't mean to if I did. Sweden. Which, if met, will go a long way toward getting us caught up, even though we're not caught up. Technically, we're okay. We just have the $200 this evening, but more than a fourth of May's fundraising is car repairs, which makes it tough on other things. So there we are. If you'd like to help out and double your money, this would be a great evening to do it. The PayPal button is over at headonradionetwork.com, of course, under the tab Contribute. And thanks again to our subscribers. Thank you so very, very much, each and every one of you, as well as everyone who contributes on an ad hoc basis to keep all of this going. It's really quite amazing. Because, well, frankly, y'all keep a program going on a shoestring that people who are out there in this business looking to become millionaires, well, they wouldn't do this. They would not do this. And I've got sort of an internal struggle going on right now because I see an I Want to Be a Millionaire scam out there. I've told some of you privately about it when you asked me directly, but I'm also loath to bring it out into the open, at least my opinion of it, because I'll be deluged with pissed off emails, you know, the same thing, the same sort of thing I got more than I cared to over my decision to vote for the actual nominee of the Democratic Party in the last election. So, you know, there we go. Thank you, Ralphs. Thank you for getting us started this evening. Thank you very, very kindly. That's a beginning. We've got 470 to go on the Mayday May Challenge, and Ralphs just turned 30 into 60. And that would leave, you do the ciphering is hard. Let's run over and talk to not cranky Todd, good Todd in South Carolina, Stan. Hey, Todd. Todd, I know you're there. We're still connected. See, I heard that. Todd. Hey, Todd. Todd, you didn't fall asleep on me, did you, buddy? I think I just heard a dog.
Hello?
Yeah, Todd, there you are.
Oh, my God, sorry.
That's okay. Is this the Kaneka report?
Sorry. You know, oh.
Or is this the, you know, oh, my what? God, I can't believe it. You know. By the way, H.R. McMaster has told everybody to shut the fuck up, that the report was false. It didn't happen. Nothing of the sort. Yeah, no, absolutely not. Trump didn't
reveal the question. I had vehicle issues like you had today. I was not in and out with the conversation, but you that's a joke what you just said, right?
No. H.R. McMaster has said that the report's completely false. Donald Trump did not give up classified information to the Russians and stop saying that.
Okay. All right. First of all, let me say this. It had to sink in, I guess, because I'm not as bright as some people or whatever. But this shit about having, and maybe you covered this, and if you did, tell me to be quiet. But having the ambassador in the inter sanctum of the White House with no U.S. reporters, okay, and only the Russian press taking pictures. Do motherfuckers understand that those people who go over there, maybe not the photographer, but that dude does not get searched. They just come over here, just boom, carte blanche. They don't look at nothing. That's the agreement we have with diplomats. They don't search the shit. You can bring a kilo of coke, heroin, whatever. They don't fucking look at that shit. Am I wrong?
No. In point of fact, didn't JFK used to have Cuban cigars brought to him in a diplomatic pouch?
Absolutely. All kinds of shit. Yeah, good, right. Good rum. Good, you know, the best everything from places that, you know, were iffy. Right, exactly. So my point is that we have a president who is fully, not partially, not a little bit, fully. If there was something above 100%, it would be that.
Yeah, to use firefighter terminology, he is fully involved.
He's fully fucking involved. I think they did something in his brain. I mean, he was already fucking stupid. Because think about it, we don't even know. I mean,
they didn't have to do anything. The spirochetes did the work, Todd.
They did the work. Yeah, well, yeah, he had a head start. He had a head start on that. Absolutely.
I mean, there are personality things there. I saw an observation. I hadn't even thought of it in these terms. But consider this. Now, we know that Barack Obama, who had two young daughters when he entered office, Sasha and Malia, I can't even remember how old they were. They weren't very old at all.
No, pre-pubes.
Yeah, prepubescent, pre-adolescent. And we know that he did everything he could to get up to the residence every evening so he could have a little bit of quality time with his daughters. Because that quality time was few and far between, right?
Something like all formative years? Yeah, okay.
So, and you know, you've got a background in psych and things like that. You've got a pretty good idea of probably what's going on. So consider this. Donald Trump, to the best of our knowledge, has not spent 1 minute since the inauguration with his 11-year-old son. He has spent every weekend golfing.
Well,
what does that tell you?
What
does that tell you about the way his ego and his psyche and his priorities work?
It's all about Donald Trump. He functions like a heavy-duty drug addict. A heavy-duty drug addict is totally self-absorbed. That all they think about is getting high, going to get high, how do I get my next high?
Doesn't the same thing going beyond the addiction analogy, doesn't the same thing apply, Todd, to a sociopath?
That's exactly where I'm going with this. That's why we're bouncing off these others so well. Exactly. That's my point. Exactly. So, right. And you see, I remember a few weeks ago when maybe it was you, I hope it was you, that even the AMA and American Psychological Association, they signed, a lot of them, they signed a paper or treatise, a white paper, something of that sort, saying, you know, this guy is unfit and it's dangerous. But you don't hear about that a lot in the press. You know, and it's absolutely a fact. But that's frightening. I mean, take out the politics and all that. This is, you know, think about the child. But and remember, he has like autism or something. It's been reported. You know, something's going on with him. The Baron. Something's going on with Baron. You know. And that may be why his mother doesn't want to leave him. With other people.
Well, and remember that Trump has a long history of talking about what a great brain he has, what fantastic genes he has. You know, he's practically a goddamn eugenicist, okay? Now, if you're like that and you think that great abilities are passed hereditarily from one person to another, the nurture mm-hmm. over nature school,
yep.
If you have a kid with problems,
yep.
How do you respond to the kid with problems? Kid's defective.
He's not going to acknowledge him.
Kid's
He's
defective.
Not acknowledging that child at all.
And remember, Udi and Cudi, and by the way, remember when the Animaniacs came out and you had Wacko and Yakko and the Warner sister Dot? Well, I realized that we have Udi and Cudi, wherever you are, Bart Cop or Arnt, we remember you. We've got Udi and Cudi in the form of Eric and Don Jr. But there's also a Warner sister Dot. In the form of Ivanka. So I now refer to that little troika as Udi and Cudi and Snooty.
Oh boy!
But Udi and Cudi aren't exactly manifestations of genius on the half shell neither.
Right. Oh, no. Especially the boys. She's the best they have. The boys are kind of, you know, they're average at best. They're average at best. So what you were saying before, right. I mean, this is what I don't get. This guy has been exhibiting his sociopathic tendencies. See, a lot of people get psychopathic and sociopathic mixed up.
You know how I keep it straight?
Mm.
Psychopaths like to kill people.
Correct.
Sociopaths just like to see them suffer.
Right.
Psychopaths like to kill people. Sociopaths just don't give a fuck.
They don't get, they're like, oh, well, they're dying slowly. So what? Okay, move on. They don't, you know. No empathy. Remember, the dude just said the other day, well, I don't, this shit, this is like fucking days old.
I mean, we all knew this, but he was like, oh, I don't apologize. He said, the rules of Trump, you know, it came out. I was like, well, I don't apologize. I just go forward. So this is just too... You almost make me forget about...
I mean, when's the last time Trump mentioned Barron? Wasn't it when he said, my son can do the cyber?
He's embarrassed. Now, he made fun. He made fun. Remember, he's making fun of mentally ill people. So there's a number of reasons why his current wife does not want to be around him. And remember, if he was a Negro or a person of a darker hue, all those baby mama and fucked up kids running around and stealing shit. I mean, don't get it twisted. When you're using your position to enrich yourself, that's stealing. It's just high class stealing. They don't give a fuck. They're stealing. So, you know, they're just used to doing what the hell they want to do without anybody else telling them, no, that's wrong. You know, but if they were black, it's like, oh, he's got all these kids by different wives. I mean, it's some shit. And see, I want to segue into this. I'm telling you right fucking now. Mother's Day was a classic. This motherfucker was a classic. And it's online. The goddamn Washington Journal on Mother's Day. See, these motherfuckers are out of fucking control. The ignorance has taken over. The unwashed masses, they love his ass. And then what did we have Friday in Charlottesville? With the torch wheel of the motherfucker. This is like a fucking
cartoon.
Well,
I was getting there. Yeah, oh, darn it. I can't remember his name all of a sudden. It does such a good job over at, was it the New York Post?
I don't know.
Come on. Anyway, he said, yes, this clan-like torchlight parade is not from the 1920s. It happened this weekend. That's how far we are going back.
This is the worst. This is exactly what we expected. And you know what? And it's funny. I remember the last time I talked with you before the server went down. Actually, it was on maybe a Thursday. Maybe I don't know. It was during the week. But I was talking about. Well, you know, I said I've been dissecting this guy's personality. Remember, I was talking about. Well, he's recording people because if you remember, in his speeches, blah blah blah. He warned his people about being recorded when they go to Russia. And I said, well, Mar-a-Lago, but now they're talking about, I don't know if you remember that, because that was the same time we talked about Tampa. It was the same conversation. And then all of a sudden, Monday, here comes Monday, they're talking about the recordings. See, this guy is very base. You know, he operates at a very low level. He's brainstem. He's got no filter. You know, his corpus callosum is, you know, who knows how that should operate. But this is what we have to do. I've been thinking about this. Now that we have brain imaging, it's not like CAT and PET scans anymore. We have like digital imaging, which in a three-dimensional way will show dark parts in your brain, like where your shit is just fucking dead. Like your gray matter is just not doing anything at all. And if we can somehow get him through a brain scan and show where those dead parts of his brain are, that on paper, you see, because remember, there's two kinds of psychology. You got the bullshit, you know, psychotherapy part, which some of it's probably credible, maybe a little bit of it. But now we're moving away from what's called black box psychology. We're moving into neuroscience. We're learning more about how the brain works because now we can operate things remotely. I'm not getting into all that, but we can show on paper where the deficits are in people's brains, you see. And if it's in the judgment center, you know, some prefrontal cortex stuff, prefrontal lobe, in different areas in the judgment center, and if that is in conjunction with the limbic system, you know, which is your emotional system, that's a terrible combination. And, I mean, it's obvious when you look at it. I mean, everybody's talking about it now, but it's like the emperor wears no clothes. When is somebody going to say, you know what, this motherfucker's not fit? Fuck fuck this. But anyway,
well, I mean, it's being said, Todd. It's just not being said by anyone who actually matters. It's being said by members of Congress, but not members of Congress who matter. Because the members of Congress who matter are Republicans, and they will be punished within an inch of their lives by Paul Ryan if they step out of line. Okay? You've got the occasional Justin Amash over out of Michigan over in the House, but he's not gonna get too far out of line. Oh no. And wow, just because it's Mother's Day, and I was thinking about Trump's mama. yeah, it's like that tweet I saw. You know, happy Mother's Day to everybody, but you know, marry Trump. She came from Scotland, but she didn't come from mainland Scotland. She came from a sparsely populated island group. A little town called Tong, a little bit north of Stornoway on, I think, Lewis Island.
Oh, a little inbred type of island, huh?
Not a big population, and it was a population that got lower and lower, because after the Battle of Waterloo, and then with the Jacobite risings, the clearances came,
mm-hmm.
The Highland clearances. And so the people who stayed on, let's just say the gene pool went down to a puddle.
Damn.
And she, everything's a movie reference. She's a McLeod. And I immediately hear Sean Connery hollering, "McLeod!" You know, in Highlander. There can be only one.
McLeod.
But the thing is, I think up there in Tong, there were only two. And that's how we got Mary.
Damn.
And I guess she was a looker back in, back before electricity. She didn't have a baby's arm growing out of her head or anything. But
it's so sexy. That's so sexy.
But you know, the toxic combination of Fred Trump, who was the child of a pimp, and Mary McLeod, who probably came from a genetic puddle. A genetic hoof print, as it were. Well, that's how you get
Man,
Donald.
Man, you're getting in trouble.
You're getting in trouble. Look, I'm sorry. He's the one who believes that everything is hereditary and that it's all nature and not nurture. Well, there's not a lot to work with there. That's all I'm saying.
Okay. Okay, this is what I'm worried about. We have already seen this shit. These folks with the pitchforks. And this is like some shit out of a goddamn cartoon. Motherfuckers with torches saying, "Oh, don't pull down Robert," you know, whatever Confederate motherfucker that was. You know, who gives a fuck? They're fucking traitors, you know. They should just say, "Oh, yeah, well." All right, let me not get into that. But anyway, the fact that we've got this solid 30-some-odd percent. When you hear these, that's what I love about Washington Journal in the morning. This is the cross-section of where we live, who we are.
And, you know, it didn't take more than numbers like that to impose prohibition and amend the Constitution. Sobering.
No.
Yeah.
And the problem is, when you combine that with the gerrymandering and the it's a caustic mix. See, this is a problem. Like Lichtman was saying the other day, you hear him on C-SPAN this weekend, and you know, he was talking about trying to get the popular vote, but the Republicans will continue. They're not stupid. Plus, they can make their rules. The House, that's a hell of a thing. If, what is this, the 215th or 204th things up here? Who may have done apply to the House? I don't know. Probably done apply to the House. I mean, I'm speaking beyond my my these folks, every section of the House, they make the rules.
Right.
They can fucking literally make their own guy. They can make a rule saying, well, he lives at 1334 Pelham Park, New York City, can ever run for Congress. And that's they vote on it, and that's the fucking rule. If your ass lives there, sorry, ass out. Am I wrong?
That might be a little bit too specific because it runs afoul of the Constitution. But they certainly make their own rules as to how they proceed and how they'll go about doing business. For instance, a good example is the so-called Hastert rule. Now, the Hastert rule doesn't say that every member of Congress has to molest a little boy.
Oh, Bob, here you go. However, come on, put the however in there.
But the Hastert rule does say that no bill can proceed through a Republican-controlled House without majority support from Republicans. For instance, if every Democrat and just enough Republicans produced a bill of impeachment, the Hastert rule would stop it from being voted on.
Because they didn't get the sufficient amount.
They didn't have majority support from Republicans.
Right. See, well, this is what I maintain at this point. I'm going to tell you something. This relies on people my age and older. And I'm already doing what I can do. All right. Retired people of who are conscious, who are woke, need to go to your representatives. Fuck the Congress. The Congress has a little more sense.
Well, but you got to be careful about that because I got another story in the stack.
Oh, no. Here you go with the goddamn story. All right, go ahead.
This one comes out of New York State. Well, it comes out of New Jersey, actually. But it was reported by WNYC. Mm-hmm. So there's a woman, and she was aggrieved by Trump and by the healthcare issue, and she was energized after the election. Her name is Sally Avalenda. She's from West Caldwell, New Jersey.
Oh.
That's in the 11th Congressional District of New Jersey, which is represented by a guy named Rodney Frelinghuysen, who has achieved sufficient power to be chairman of the Appropriations Committee, which is, in fact, the most powerful committee in the House of Representatives, because everything that gets a dollar spent on it has to more or less go through appropriations.
That's the purse string, people. Yep.
It is the plummiest plum job you can have in the House, short of the Speaker.
How old is this person?
I'd say 40s.
Damn! Oh, my God.
No more than early 50s. So anyway, Sally Avalenda forms a group called New Jersey 11th for Change. And they've been calling on Rodney Frelinghuysen to hold town meetings so he can be addressed by his constituents. Rodney Frelinghuysen is, of course, a chicken shit. And he won't do it. So instead, they started doing what other groups have done. They've held town meetings without him to inform the public of what his positions are and what he has been doing. And as long as he's not there to defend himself, well, they can talk about how wrong-headed he is in doing it. Now, Sally Avalenda, Todd, is not, and I'm not trying to take away from any, She is not a powerless member of the poor. She was, in fact, assistant general counsel to a bank. She's a lawyer. And she was a senior vice president of that bank. So she continues to do her activism. And lo and behold, Rodney Frelinghuysen puts out a fundraising letter. And it's the typical, you know, I need your money because we've got to fight them commie demoncrats kind of thing.
Right, right.
And along the way, you know, he says, here it is. It went out on campaign stationery, and it tells people that he wants them to vote to donate to his campaign 2 years ahead of the election. And it contains this, but let's be clear that there are organized forces, both national and local, who are already hard at work to put a stop to an agenda of limited government, economic growth, stronger national security.
Who's backing his ass?
Well, just wait. Wait. It's going to get worse. You might want to get the hockey puck out, Todd.
Motherfuckers.
So they send the letter to people who work at that bank. All right? She works for, I think it's called Lakeland Bank. I'm sorry, I should say worked. And in the copy of the letter that went to one of the bank officers, Rodney Frelinghuysen signed it with his own little pen, and then he circled in that line, but let's be clear that there are organized forces, both national and local, he circled the word local and wrote in his own hand, P.S., one of the ringleaders works for your bank! Exclamation point. Ringleaders. Now see, and I've lost Todd. When you use the word ringleader, and I hope Todd will call himself back, or will call back himself. I hope Todd will call back because I want the Kaneka report. Damn it! When you use a word, let me put it this way: is there a friendly way to call somebody a ringleader? For instance, a group of town residents are going around cleaning up the sidewalks and picking up stray dog poo. The ringleader is Bill Smith. You wouldn't call him the ringleader. Now, would you? You'd call him the leader. You only use ringleader. Let's see. A bomb went off today at blah, blah. Several arrests were made, including the ringleader. The use of the word ringleader there is actually libelous. And because it was a matter of ratting her out in her place of employment, it may arguably have been done with malicious intent. And how do I know? Because Frelinghuysen's spokescreep said, "The congressman wrote a brief and innocuous wrote a brief and innocuous note at the bottom of a personal letter in regard to information that had been reported in the media. He was in no way involved in any of the bank's businesses and unaware of the particulars about the employee's status with the bank. Well, she doesn't work there anymore. She was put through the she was put through the third degree, and ultimately resigned. So, you know, there you go. Hey, Todd.
Back. Yeah. You know, my phone is. I think.
Just Republicans behaving like Republicans.
You know, I'm telling you, man, you have no idea how many drop calls I've had in the past week. And I mean, it's sensitive moments, man. They don't like who I'm talking to. But
feels that way sometimes. I tried to.
You know what?
We tried to have the triumphant return of Dr. Bill O'Brien today, and Skype simply would not cooperate.
You see, and before we get to the connector, you see, this is what I don't get. I don't get it, man. I don't get these folks. And like, it's past saying, well, all right, I'm not trying. There's a difference between stupid and dumb, okay? You can't fix dumb. Dumb is like, you know, like...
No, you can't fix stupid.
Oh, you can't fix stupid. See, I had trouble with that.
Ignorant okay. can be cured. Ignorance can be cured simply by the provision of prophylactic information and education. You can't fix stupid. Nobody is ever going to be able to fix Donald Trump. He's not going to wake up. He's not going to become enlightened. He could sit under the bow tree like the goddamn Buddha for the next million years. And when he gets up at a million year and one goddamn minute, he's going to be the same fucking asshole that he was when he sat the hell down.
And you know, Bob, I quite understand that. My point right now, I mean, we all see that. I mean, not we all. Obviously, people are still coddling him. What I'm talking about is his minions. And this goes back to yesterday, Mother's Day. I mean, as much as I listened to Washington Journal, that shit fucking, I wasn't shaking, but I was shook. I was like, oh my God, this is going to be difficult. Then the report comes out, because it took a couple of days for me to find that report about the pitchfork and the torches. Well, I don't know about the pitchfork, but the torches. You see, it's the minions. Because these people were like, why are you beating up on Donald Trump? And can't you say nothing good about him? He's doing a great thing for America. And all y'all go beating him up and say, see, it's the great white hope thing. And nobody's willing to say that. This motherfucker is as ignorant as a goddamn run over penny on the train track. I mean, what the fuck? What does it fucking take? He's going to have that solid 30-some, 40-some percent, and they feel emboldened. And see, I listen to Jeff Rentz, and now I'm goddamn the asshole from Louisiana. His show has been bumped up to 11. He's all morning. You hear, I hate to even say his name. You know what I'm talking about.
David Duke. Oh, my
Absolute.
God.
Absolutely. You see, because I'm going to tell you, Jeff Rentz now, and I don't go directly to his website. I'm not trying to give him any clicks. Fuck him. So I circumvent away, you know, to listen, because he does have some interesting guests on. However, he's a fucking, what do you call it? Like a Francophile people that like French people, you know, an Anglophile like English people. What do you call the people who like the Nazis?
Nazis.
Okay. Well, you know, I was trying to be nice about that shit. Okay, fine. That motherfucker's a Nazi. Because he always is making an excuse about how, oh, the Nazis, they just have everything in order and this and that. But at the same time, he'll have John Barber on there. And John Barber will be like, no, he'll tell a motherfucker, no, Jeff, no, you're wrong there, no. And John Barber will say, you know, Red Fox was my fucking mentor. And the young people who've not listened to Red Fox is out. Hey, Red Fox is this shit. That motherfucker was funny as hell. So I don't want to get off too much.
Oh, by the way, I just got a link from Brother Deacon Asa.
Mm-hmm.
Trump has already admitted what you just said. He's on the record. And it's a link titled, Donald Trump tells biographer, he's the same now as he was in first grade.
See, that's a problem.
Yeah, it is. I got to get some other calls in, so I got to have the Kaneka report.
Yeah. So it had rained, but I will say this. It rained. But I will say this. People, you just to look up it, but you got to get it for the cartoon character on the label. I mean, he's sitting there in front of the grill with the fork. He's eating the, like you said, he's eating the sausage right off the grill. You know? And that's all I got to say. And I'm going to let somebody else in.
No, but I mean, did it live up to, did you get to? I mean, have you done it or not? Or
no, it rained. It rained. It's been raining.
Oh, so you didn't even try the iron skillet method.
No, are you kidding? No. I want to have that outside. No, I want to have it the real way. No. Because it looks like real cake sausage. I mean, it looks like snap sausage. Like
it is. Snap. And it snaps. It snaps.
See, it looks like that. That's exactly why.
I mean, when you're doing it in the skillet and you've got a little water around it and you're heating it up that way and you hit it with the fork, it'll go pop.
Yeah. See, that's real casing.
Yeah, it's lamb.
I'll give you an update, man. Thanks for giving me some time. And I hope your vehicle's all right. Everything. So, it's a mess.
I got to share this with you. Steve from Georgia Stan just noted, I don't watch Washington Journal anymore. Instead, I watch reruns of Little House on the Prairie. Nellie Olson isn't nearly as frustrating as Trump or his followers. Man, that's saying
something. Oh, my God.
That was one hateful character.
A little bitch. She was a little.
Yeah, she just terrible, just awful human being. Every episode I tuned in hoping that, like she'd get trapped in quicksand or something, but it never seemed to happen. Todd, have a good evening, and we will wait for better weather. See, this is driving me crazy. I got 3 beautiful days here, and not a damn. Oh God! Somewhere along the way, I gotta get that acorn.
Let me say this really quick. And it was like 90 some degrees here today. And I actually measured it. I had on my pallet. It is a cubic yard. It's 3 feet by 3 feet. I mean, it's weird how it ended up. I have a cubic yard of pecan, and I didn't even know until I went on the web, and I was like, oh, no wonder it tastes so good. People buy this shit in bags. And the bark, I got the bark. The bark is great to start the fire with. But folks don't ever use bark to cook your meat. That's what you use to start the fire.
No. Bark is skanky.
Skanky. It's great to start the fire. But see, that's what nature does for us. It gives you the starter. You get the fire started with the bark and paper. I don't even have to use lighter fluid. I haven't used lighter fluid in years.
I've got a chimney. I use wood and newspaper.
There you go. See, what's up. All right, man. Thanks again. And more power to the people. That's all I can say.
All right. See you, Todd.
All right.
Bye now. Yeah, I've actually sat around. I've got a list now. Things I'm willing to roll the dice with my innards over. Kaneka is one of them. Benton's Bacon is another. Pretty short list, really. Hey, let's check in with Scott and Punky. Hey, Scott.
Oh, wow. I'm sorry about that. You caught me. Skype has been flakier than Granny's pie crust today. I don't know what the deal is. You said you're having trouble earlier hooking up with, who is it?
Dr. Bill.
Dr. Bill, yeah. But anyway, be that as it may. I agree with what you're saying about the genetics involved in our current situation, okay? How Trump was always trumpeting just how marvelous his and superior his genetics are, okay? But genetics, as we know, is a two-edged sword. as you kind of alluded to in your talk with Todd earlier, with Mrs. Trump, Fred's wife, and then, of course, Fred.
You're my brother.
So earlier today, on my internet travels, which are always illuminating, I come across this item from Alternet, which I sent you the link a little while ago. Here's the headline. The video that suggests Trump is suffering from Alzheimer's. And then the slug line underneath, could a more serious illness be at work beneath the bluster and the ego? The most egregious parts of Donald Trump's personality, his racism, misogyny, etc. And it goes on to say, could be linked not to personality defects necessarily, although there are plenty of those. It's fun to speculate about the singing spirochetes. That could be a factor. But there's already a family history on Fred's side, and having to do with Fred, of fairly early onset of serious Alzheimer's symptoms. But anyway, check out that link, because it gives the particulars, the bill of particulars, regarding, you know, it's like a side-by-side comparison of the classic symptoms of Alzheimer's, and on the other side of the ledger, Trump's behavior for what has it been, 2 years since he declared, almost, like just short of a month?
Yeah, about.
Okay. And it also, that video, which was fascinating, shows him 25 and 30 years ago, and his entire personality and manner of speaking is like 180 degrees different than the person that we're facing today. So anyway, check that out and even post it on Facebook, on your group, if you feel that it's something that the fun lovers and truth seekers should see more of. Because, see, and it would go a long ways to explain all of the things, all of our grievances for the past 2 years about the guy, about what he says and does. I mean, yeah, it could be mere ego. It could be, is he psychopathic, or what is the, which is the correct
designation?
Sociopathic. Okay. It could be the spirochetes. It could be sociopathic behavior. It could be a number of things, but what is that deal that Sherlock Holmes used to talk about? If you've eliminated
the impossible, whatever is left, no matter how improbable, is the answer.
Yeah, and in this case, it could be highly probable. It could be our collective bingo moment, you know?
Well, there's also Occam's razor wandering around out there, Scott.
Yeah, yeah.
And Occam's razor, of course, says that the simplest answer is most often the correct one. I'm paraphrasing really generally, but what is the simplest answer as to why Trump behaves the way he behaves?
And people would be foolish to discount something like this. This, and I know you get into dangerous territory when you psychoanalyze or medically diagnose from a distance, but Todd was on the right track. If we can, you know, this would be kind of our tricky little version of This Way to the Egress. We could lure him with a sign saying this way and then fill in the blank with something that really appeals to Trump, like a mirror, okay? So just take him by the hand and lead him in. Take him up to Bethesda Naval Hospital, have a guy in a white coat lead him into the booth, and instead of it being what Trump is really looking forward to experiencing, it could be a super state-of-the-art brain scanning machine.
Well, if you want to lead him, remember how Miss Jane Hathaway used to revive Mr. Drysdale when he'd have one of his fainting spells? Mr. Clampett, do you happen to have your walking around money with you?
Yes.
You just wave a few bills under his nose and it'd work like smelling salts?
Yeah.
Oh, this is that. This is that. Yeah. Just, you know, Donnie, got $1 million. Come here, Donnie. Look, Donnie, $1 million in a briefcase. Yeah. Yeah, I do, but the problem here is we come back to the same problem every gosh darn time, Scott, yeah. And that is that some third party has to act.
Oh, I know. That's the second part of the equation.
I mean, what I wouldn't give for a Marvel supervillain to, yes, lure him to a psychiatrist's couch for a battery of tests.
Mm-hmm.
I'm thinking of the Joker, the Penguin, maybe. No, that's DC, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah,
yeah, that's DC. That's Batman. That's DC. So, I'll take a Marvel supervillain too. I mean, I don't care. Somebody get it done, because the reality, Scott, is that there ain't nobody who's going to get it done.
Well, at this point. Never mind DC Comics and Marvel Comics. I would settle for Huey, Baby Huey or Little Lulu.
Oh, wait. He's even got the accent. Scrooge McDuck.
There you go. Bingo. Disney comes to the rescue.
Come along, Donald. I'll let you see my basement full of gold.
So, and to my way of thinking, something does have to be done. And maybe we're just not, maybe the people who will matter in this scenario, the ones who will actually, as you say, do something, where the checks and the balances fucking kick in, maybe we're not at the tipping point they're not at the tipping point that they need to be at to actually take the step. And one of the things that'll move them in that direction, what was the last number that came out? 38%, 36% approval rating?
Yeah, depending on which poll, yes.
This soon into the proceedings, okay.
28% of the American people disapprove of the Comey affair.
Yeah, okay, so you got that. And then just general performance and appeal is like 36%, 38%, depending on the poll. Sooner or later, it's like, did you get any on ya? It's going to be one of those deals where the GOP House and GOP Senate, all of the House is going to be up for a vote in next year, okay? Year and a half from now. So you've got them, and you've got the GOP Senate. The whatever fraction of the third of the Senate, which
eight
is
of
the
them.
GOP Senate,
eight of them.
Is okay, going to be up. So then it's like a CYA sort of thing, and we all know human nature, self-preservation is the very first rule of order, okay? So maybe the tipping point comes when they see that, his decline is not showing any signs of reversing, that's for damn sure. So then it comes down to the matter of, well, this guy's going to take us down with him. It's like, get the fucking rowboats as far away from the Titanic as you can, as quickly as you can.
Do you think they can learn that? Do you think they can learn that without losing elections?
Well, yeah, I think they can, because this is not brand new material. We've seen in times past, whether it's a Democrat as president or a Republican as president, on the first off-year election or midterm election that happens after someone from either party is elected president, it's never good for that president's party in the House and or the Senate. So, yeah. This is not like brand new information for these people. A lot of them have been around long enough they know which side of the bread the butter is on. Okay. So, that's having grown up in DC, I learned this as a mere prat of a child. Those who have been there a long time, they know the score. They know the deal and they behave in a manner consistent with not getting any on them. So we'll see how that, and if they don't, then good for us and shame on them for not knowing enough, not knowing better, God, I've got punky all stirred up as you can hear. I'm not even going to put him in the other room because he's having so much fun freaking the heck out. But anyway, that's my two cents today. I mean, it's like just when you think it can't get any crazier, whatever happened to the long form news cycle? You know, I miss that. I'm old enough to remember.
Oh, that's pining for the fjords. I remember when we had 5-minute reports on the evening news from really boring looking nerdy guys who would talk about complex things like budgets.
Yeah.
And could actually do it without referring to an opinion poll from Cowtown State.
Yeah. Well, speaking of that, I have your DirecTV now.
Yes.
Okay, were you part of the free HBO for a year deal?
Yes.
Okay, tonight with John Oliver.
I love it.
Okay, so I'm presuming you saw it last night.
I have not.
Okay, well, when you go to the replay.
No spoilers.
Okay, well, let's just put it this way. There was a segment on for-profit kidney dialysis. In that segment, there was a brief snippet from a 19C documentary narrated by Edwin Newman. And it was, this is over 50 years ago. The early, early kidney dialysis machines and how you have three flaming hoops in order to even be able to be part of that program because of the cost and because of the fact that in the places where they had these kidney dialysis machines, there were more people needing time on them than there were machines. And back then, it was horrendously expensive. Well, I'll send you the link to the full documentary that Edwin Newman did because it was eerily prescient because just the title of it should give you an idea, Who Shall Live, okay? Gives you an idea of how it could be as current as today, okay, technology notwithstanding, because with the healthcare discussion, you know, the subtext there in today's world is who gets to live. You know, they talk about death panels. Well, you know, past is prologue as far as that goes, if these guys get their way. But I'll send you the link through email. So when you watch John Oliver and see that segment, you'll be able to see the entire one-hour documentary that Edwin Newman did in 1965. And it will shock, amaze, and outrage you at how we're back to where we were overall with healthcare as we were over 50 years ago with kidney dialysis. It'll make you weep.
Jesus.
Not that you need any more reasons to weep.
Yeah, I mean, right.
And I'll close with a reminder, if people with Netflix haven't already done it, the assignment, watch the new documentary, new to Netflix, Get Me Roger Stone. So that,
and
I guess
you in turn, and you in turn are going to watch the Dutch documentary, right?
Okay, I heard that's the one you mentioned earlier.
Yes.
What is the title and where is it?
There are links at Alternet and at Raw Story, and it is called, let me find it.
Okay.
It is called the Donald Trump's Dubious Friends.
Okay. It sounds like it's along the lines of Get Me Roger Stone, so I will definitely check it out.
And there's part, it's in two parts. The first part will make your blood run cold.
Okay, well, my blood hasn't had much fun lately, so that'll be an adventure. Maybe I'll fire up the machine that makes color teenies, sit back, and watch this thing with one of my little vodka martinis with an olive the size of a bulldog's eye, and it'll be a
you make a mean martini.
Well, I do. Well, you've seen my little Facebook picture. That was taken on New Year's Eve. You could do laps in that martini glass that I got just for the occasion.
Yes.
Before that, it was an old Welch's grape jelly jar, and I said, "Well, this is not at all classy. Let me get an actual martini glass."
Classy.
And I got a shaker.
Well, you're in San Diego, so you have to stay classy.
Well, I don't know about that. Have you ever been here?
No, I'm going by Anchorman. You know, Will.
Yeah,
Ferrell.
I know. You know, that's apparently based on an actual guy who I think is now retired or moved out of town. And I've never seen the Anchorman film, but from what I know of it, and from what I know
it's,
of the
it's,
former,
it's painfully awkward, but it's funny in that way.
But what I know of this actual Anchorman, it's supposedly based on, the whole thing was whitewashed, you know, compared to the real guy. So who knows?
Well, I just happen to know one of the people upon whom Les Nessman was based. A lot of folks get their stories sort of worked into things that turn into something entirely different later. I knew one of the models for Les Nessman.
On WKRP.
Yeah, and I was actually listening. I was out driving around and listening to National Petroleum Radio over the weekend, and I heard this horrifying story from this about this guy who lived in a California town called Twin Peaks.
Uh oh.
Whose girlfriend burned up in a fire.
Uh oh.
And who was and he was the boyfriend, and he was immediately suspected as being the killer. And he's absolutely convinced that somewhere along the way, David Lynch, there's the second David Lynch reference of the night, picked up the story and turned it into what Twin Peaks turned into.
Yeah. There you go. It's just like some of the great lines that have emanated from this program winding up a week or two later on Bill Maher's show. So there you
go. And others. I mean, there have been other examples as well, but... Oh, and what was the really good one? The Aliens? That was Saturday Night Live, The Aliens. It was almost a direct lift of my alien home planet of, you know, Norblap 9.
Yeah, I forgot about that, but yeah, you're right. I remember sitting here watching it that night, saying, I wonder if Bob is seeing this. So, jeez.
Yeah, well, listen, I will let you and Punky get back to it. Sounds like Punky needs some cockatiel Valium maybe, or a cockatiel martini, who knows?
No, he's okay, but it's just that when he sees me getting all riled up, you know, he doesn't know it. He's not sure quite how to respond, whether he should just cower, or whether he should show support by saying yeah, what he said,
right,
in little birdie talk.
Exactly. But, all right, Scott, you take care.
Okay, Bob, you too.
Later, bye.
See ya.
Our buddy Scott and his boss Punky from San Diego. Yeah, right now, I got to say I'm a little unhappy with the cats here. I think it's because Agnes has been gone and they protest. I don't know for sure which one it is. I don't think it's the Siamese. She's entirely too well behaved. But the little black rescue cat, who's not quite a year old, has taken to manifesting her disdain. You know, get up in the morning, put food in her bowl. And I tried putting out two bowls so that they wouldn't hiss and spit at each other. Because little black cat's getting a little chubby. They're both indoor cats, so don't worry, there won't be any kittens. If there were kittens, we'd have to start a cat religion. But I put out their food. I went from two bowls to one because two bowls wasn't working. And I thought maybe little black cat was being a bitch to the Siamese, Mushu, by knocking one of the two bowls into the floor. Mercifully, this is dry cat food. I'd still be retching if it was wet. Can't abide wet cat food. Oh, Jesus. But it was dry. And they like it. They eat it. They're happy with it. But I come home from dropping Ferg off at work, and the cat has been the bowl has been hockey pucked into the kitchen floor. And so, you know, it's not just that, I mean, you got to get the broom, you got to get the dustpan, you got to clean it up, throw the bowl away. It's a disposable bowl. And then throw the food away. Yes, it probably doesn't speak well of me, but I'm kind of pissed off at the little black kitten because she's doing it for spite. She wants her mother. And I would happily provide her mother to her, but her mother is busy right now, 92 miles away. Ugh. And I'm not even supposed to be a cat person. God help me, I love them. Yeah, the little black cat also will lay on a, you know, she'll roll over on her back, and if she sees me, it never happens when I've got like jeans or khakis on. It only happens when I'm walking by bare-legged, and I'll walk by bare-legged, and she'll whoosh, and, you know, just give me a nice slash just to you know, remind. And then she'll just look up at me and smile. I'm precious, aren't I? Yeah. Ace is saying, yeah, go on, Bob. Blame your life problems on the colored cat. I guess I was doing that, wasn't I? Before I dig myself any deeper. Oh, by the way, we still got the same 170 to go, and we've still got the same 470 to go to meet Scott's. To meet Scott's May Day May challenge. Hey, Tracy.
So it's the black. It's all because
of
the black cat.
Yeah,
right?
I'm blaming it on the black cat.
You know, just another example of the white man keeping his sister down.
I know it. I
uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's all because of the black people. You just can't have nice things because of the black cat. How are you doing, Bob?
I was doing a lot better until Asa started that. Sure, Bob. Blame your troubles on the black cat. Why did you have to call it a black cat, Bob? Why couldn't you just say the younger cat? Why'd you have to tell everybody the cat was black, Bob?
Yeah, right. Exactly. You know, the other cat. You know, the younger cat. But no, you had to point out.
Yeah, the cat was black.
That the other cat was black. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because if it was the other cat doing it, I'd just say the Siamese cat. But that's probably wrong too, because I guess that
cat, because you know then you
she's
mess with Thai.
Isn't she Thai now? Or
isn't she
or
Thai?
You know
like
for the last
know.
60 years.
You
the
just
Asian
can't,
cat.
You just can't win. The Asian cat. Well, you know, Siamese, really? Or Thai, really? As a matter of fact, my sister and my brother-in-law are going to Thailand. See, this is when you know you have money. They're going to Thailand for a month.
Whoa.
First of all, what can you do in Thailand for a month?
You just sit there and stare at those amazing rock formations right off the beach. Remember the TV show China Beach? Wasn't that shot in Thailand?
I think it was, wasn't it?
Phuket? Don't ask somebody like Rush Limbaugh what can you do in Thailand for a month.
Oh, ew, gross, yuck. Oh, no, I need it. I just posted a article on the Horn Facebook page. Apparently, Kellyanne Conway, when all the mics were off and off the air and stuff, used to say that when she had to talk about Donald Trump, she would need to take a shower afterwards. And so, yeah.
Well, she said all kinds of shitty things about him back when. Who'd she work for? Ted Cruz?
Ted Cruz. I didn't know that until I read that article.
Yeah, Rafaelito Eduardo Cruz, she cussed Donald Trump till a fly wouldn't light on him.
Now, isn't it ever so frightening? Just what people will do for money. No, she worked for Ted Cruz. She was his. So I gather she was his you know, campaign manager until he dropped out of the race last year. And so then she, you know, saddled herself up to, 45. So it's like, ew, gross, sick, yuck, ew. You know what kind of sleaze bag he is. Because he talks so much crap about your former boss. But yet and still, you have no more, you have the morals of what is on the bottom of the of my shoe when I walk through a pasture full of manure. But yet and still, you go work for him. But you want us to believe anything that you say about the man. Okay. Oh, so, you know, I'm back in school and everything, and I'm taking critical thinking. So I have to write a I haven't written it yet. So here's the premise of the paper. You're going to love this.
Okay.
So in my critical thinking class, it's talking about honesty. So apparently it's about, and I wish I had my book with me, but it's about how if you are an expert at one thing, does it mean it transfers that you're going to be an expert at something else, right? So the premise of the paper is if you're dishonest in one area of your life or what have you, does it mean you're dishonest at other aspects? So they're saying, like, when Bill Clinton lied about Monica Lewinsky, does that make him dishonest at all things? So, in other words, if you lie about one thing, are you prone to lie about something else?
Yeah, what you're discussing is the concept in legal trial practice of impeaching the witness. If you can show they lie about one thing, you can make the argument that they're probably lying about others.
Right.
On the other hand, however, you can't come right out and say, ladies and gentlemen of the jury, that person's a liar.
Right. You can't say that person is a liar. But then again, there's the Christian, but it's like, so you're saying, can you say that a person, and then there's me. Now, I'm the Christian, so, you know, there's that Christian principle that you're supposed to forgive a person an infinite amount of time. But then I found, thank God, there's an out in the Bible that, you know, that even if a person is a, you know, there is an out, but if a person is a habitual liar or just a habitual sinner, then that person is not a Christian. Did you know that?
Yes.
Did you? Of course you knew. But see,
and then there's the I would that you were hot or cold, but you are neither, so I will spit you out of my mouth.
Spit you out. Exactly. So there's an out for Christians about Trump. There is an out. All these Christians.
But they're not interested, Tracy.
And that's what pisses me off. It's like, you have
because they're not Christians, Tracy. Because they're not Christians.
But
the thing is, but wait, because I'm going to get an email from probably Tara saying, "Oh, yes, they are, Bob," and that's the problem, Tracy. Because if you believe what Christians have to believe to get the to get the frisbees and wheat checks after death, and I'm not trying to be a smartass.
Did you say frisbee and wheat?
Frisbees and wheat checks. Yes.
No, they're supposed to be the mansions with the
pearly gates and harps and
Henry mansions. Come on, get it right. There's no frisbees.
There are frisbees in heaven, or what's a heaven for?
That's the frisbees are for the doggy heaven.
Well, they're also for the pothead heaven.
Okay, no, those are the hacky sacks.
Now, why you got to stereotype potheads?
You started it with the frisbee.
Why you got to do that? Not all potheads can hacky sack. Some potheads prefer frisbees. And some non-potheads. But to get to the larger point, you know, there's a short list of stuff you have to believe.
Right.
Jesus, born of a virgin. Episcopalians, check. Lutherans, check. Catholics, check. Southern Baptists, check. Pentecostals, check. Apostolic holiness, check. Methodists, check. Megachurches, Joel Osteen, check. born of a virgin.
Don't forget the black mega churches. Don't forget TJJ.
Well, no. That's why I went apostolic holiness.
Okay.
And the rest, crucified, rose on the third day, ascended into heaven, right hand of the Father. Episcopals, check. Lutherans, check. Presbyterians, check. Catholics, check. Orthodox, check. Baptists, Southern Baptists, check, check. Methodists, check. Apostolic holiness, check. Free will Baptists, check. So the thing is, it's a baked in, if I can say this without being offensive, it's a baked in flaw of Christianity that you get in as long as you can check off all the boxes.
Right.
And they all believe in the same boxes. The good Christians and the bad Christians. And they're all Christians.
Right.
And that's where the trouble comes from.
Well, see, my paper basically is going to be about the title of the paper is Honesty in the Age of Alternative Facts.
Oh, that's
the right title.
Yeah, I like that.
Because
factuality.
Ooh.
In the Age of Alternative Facts, although somebody might ding you for having the word in your title twice.
Twice. Because it's like, you know... Accuracy in the Age of Alternative... Because I found there's a Washington Post... because it's like if... At day one, within a couple... The first day of his presidency, what did he do? He lies about how many people were at the inauguration. Day one.
Yeah.
You start off your presidency about lying about how many people are at your inauguration. If you're gonna lie about that, something that is easily disproven. It's like, come on, seriously. If you're gonna lie about something like that, what else are you going to lie about? And we already know. I mean, he lied throughout this campaign. So we weren't shocked about the lying. I think we were shocked. No, I don't think we were shocked. Were we shocked about the lying?
No.
Or were we just shocked about the level of lying? Or just the mendacity? Or were we just pissed off about the fact?
I think maybe shocked is the wrong word because people expected him to lie because he's been lying all of his life. If there's any shock, it comes the number of people in this country willfully desirous of being lied to. Trey Crowder said, "You kidding me, man? Lie to him."
Oh, did you see the rant that I sent? His latest rant about Comey?
Yeah, somebody might want to mail a starter kit of Thorazine darts to Trey Crowder. I love him, but I can't get by without him. But we're running out of time, Tracy, but Asa echoed something I was thinking about too. Cut the crap, Tracy. Did you pay for Alex's sandwich on Friday or not?
Actually, because it was Mother's Day weekend, he paid for his mom's sandwich.
Ooh. Did he get his artichokes?
Yes, he did.
Was I right?
And you were very much so right. He told me to thank you in no uncertain terms about the artichoke hearts in itself. Hey, did you see, I know you got to go, but did you see I've lost 45, almost 45 pounds?
Yes, yes. I and all of us are mighty proud of you. And how far are you trying to go?
Well, my goal is 170. So I have I have 26 pounds to get to be under 200.
they'll put me at 199. So I have about 50 more pounds to go. Wow. Before I get to one, yeah, because it's at 50, yeah, because I want 100 pounds, so yeah. So about 50 more pounds to go, and I'll be 100 pounds, lose 100 pounds, so yeah.
Well, we know you can do it, and we're proud of you. And
70 pounds. Yeah, well, I'm doing it.
Takes
doing
real, it takes will it. And determination.
And away, you know, and away from the curly fries and the fried cheese.
But
I still eat it.
When all else fails, live on yogurt.
Well, Bob, you take care of yourself. I hope you start to eat more food than, you know, yogurt and cottage cheese.
Well, if nothing else, I'm entertaining myself because I think about things that I would be able to be. That's like I said with Todd. I'm thinking about things I would be willing to roll the dice with. One of those is one of those is Kaneka sausage. Fuck snake eyes. It's on the grill, you know. But until it gets here, I can. It's all just academic because I'd have to drive to Knoxville to get some.
Well, see, there's that.
Yeah.
There's that.
Right, and at this point in time.
Until next time, my dear.
Yes.
Until next time, my dear. Good night. Be well. And don't do anything that you'll regret. Or at least if you do it with something. You know, be good. At least if you can't, you'll be good at it.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Tracy, you have a good night.
You too, my love. Good night.
Bye now. The one and only Tracy, the lady cab driver from somewhere in the wilds of Los Angeles. Time to get out of here. Thanks, everybody. I guess, the May Day May challenge will be on the table through tomorrow, and hopefully we'll make some progress with it because, Ralphs was the only one who helped out this evening. Thank you, Ralphs. Thank you very, very much, and we'll try again tomorrow and just keep going. Thanks to all of you who spend your precious finite time engaging in the program in whatever manner you choose. It is inspiring, this little community you've built. Thank you to our all-volunteer staff. Thank you to everybody who keeps the program going. Thank you to the hardest-working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net. And always, always, always. Gina, it's all for you. Good night, y'all.